Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for being here, and thank you for asking me. And so I love the doctor's opinion because when I came into the program, I don't know about you guys, but I really love drinking. Okay. It did everything for me that I could not do for myself. I was in another world when I took that drink. And I love the taste of it. I don't know how people drink if they don't like the taste of it. Because, you know, I've been sober for 43 years, but I can't get off of sugar for more than 6 months. There's a correlation there. Chocolate, put it in front of me, I'm ravaged. But anyway, so what they told me when I first came in here is, you know, first of all, I was not going to be an alcoholic. My father was a violent alcoholic in my home, and I didn't drink like him, or so I thought. And if that was going to be an alcoholic, it wasn't going to be me. So, when I came into the program, I had lost two parents. We are basically, seven children raising each other. And an alcohol, like I said, did for me what I couldn't do for myself. I couldn't think. I didn't know what to do. But I knew that if I drank and I hung out with people that I thought were like me, that meant going places where I didn't know where I was going, didn't know how to get back, all that good stuff, you know? Where you wake up in the middle of a grass field on a weekend and say, gee, how did I get here? Or the worst one, and this is how I realized I was an alcoholic. Now, this is before, well, let me go back. I started drinking with my little brother. Now, I don't know if my little brother is an alcoholic or not, because you can't tell people if they're alcoholic or not. I know I am. Me and him used to be in the back room while my father drank on the kitchen table, and he drank his Narragansett quart bottles, as in plural. And my mother would cook, and we knew there was going to be something going on, so we thought we'd save our mother. That's the Al-Anon in me. And soon as my father went to the bathroom, I went for the beer. He went for the beer. Now, my beer was not my favorite drink, but it was a reason to save my mother. And the second reason is we get to go to the Packy to exchange those bottles for candy. So that's how we lived for a while, for about 5 or 6 years, until my father went on a bankruptcy and then we had to move. So, yeah. So that's I started around 10. It was around 10 years old. And then when we moved, I did not like that school because they didn't know how to say my name. And it's not Mimi, by the way. And it was a horrible experience. I didn't drink, but I wasn't happy. And then we moved again to this small town where basically my father was the town drunk. But you know, that town drunk would get up every day and go to work. He supported 10 kids and we had a roof over our house and he was building another house. And he taught my brothers, and this is after 43 years of sobriety, taught my brothers to be Masons. And they made a good living and they've su and supported their families. So sometimes, you know, looking back and doing a fourth and fifth step, thinking about my father, because there was other things I could talk about. He was also a World War II vet and never got treatment for that. So trauma was in the house. Let's put it that way. We were all traumatized. Oh. Anyway, so I remember being a teenager and I didn't like where I was. And my mother was ready to pass away. She was one of the first Boston to get a valve, a pig's valve in her heart. So by the at 16, she passed away. And then we were left, and my father had he left because of his debts. And late a year later, we had to go to his funeral. And so we were a bunch of kids in an apartment. And my sister just turned 21, so she could take over whatever, but I was the manager. And make a long story short, we graduated from that crazy place. And in the meantime, I had this boyfriend who also, like within the next year or whatever, found out he had been cheating on me the whole time, because in my mind we were going to get married and have I don't know how many kids, and that wasn't the case. And I got into an accident, and that was the first time alcoholism was pinned on me, and I had to go through the whole DWI thing. And I hated every minute of it. They told me I had to go to AA, and I hated every minute of it, especially at my age. I was what, 18, 19 years old, and the youngest guy in the room was probably around 50, and I thought this was not the life I wanted to live. So anyway, I did what I needed to do. The probation officer was cruel to me because he gave me 2 years instead of 1 year in probation, and probably saved my life. At this point, I was taking care of my younger sister somehow. I don't know how they let me do that. And then I ended up in my brother's hallway, got a job, and I was basically scared to death because there was conditions, and everywhere I went, I thumbed, like the counselor. I never told the counselor anything. Oh, and by the way, I wanted to be a hippie. Hippies are not alcoholics, you get it? So anyway, I was telling him, yeah, but I really couldn't smoke pot because I didn't like pot, number one. It wasn't doing me any good. So I got to a year of sobriety. And by this time, I had a little car I had bought. It was a standard, which I barely could drive. And I had a job. It was at a factory, those wonderful factories that, anyway. And I had a little apartment. So things were going good. And I hated those meetings still, just hated them. There was nothing there except for, I'm sorry, cigarettes and donuts. I would go back for the cigarettes and donuts. And then one Labor Day weekend, I decided that I would get, Mitch called me, he told me he had a new GTO, and I love cars, and I thought, oh yeah, I'll go for a ride with him. Well, the first thing he did was stop at a Packy and bought me, what, half a gallon of wine or something. And we went to this party. And by this time, I had about what, a year and a half of AA under my belt. And I felt like a fish out of water. And I came home to my cute little apartment. I looked in the mirror and I said, I think I'm one of those alcoholics. Because people that don't have a problem don't drink this much alcohol in one setting. And I learned that. I learned that in AA. I didn't know what an alcoholic was. All those speakers taught me what an alcoholic was. And one of the guys told me, he says, an alcoholic being reunioned with his car is the happiest day of his life, when you're asking all your friends to bring you around town to find your car. Yeah. And mine was right on the railroad tracks. And my brother had just given me that car, put new tires on it, and I had to give it to the guy who took it out of the railroad tracks. I didn't have any money at that time. And anyway, so I was looking up, and blackouts. That was another thing, is it's like, total blackouts. I did not know that only alcoholism really puts you into blackout. Because I love the stuff. And I didn't stop with wine. I went for the hard stuff. At the end, I was a hard drinker, and vodka was my last drink. And the reason I thought I could drink vodka is because I was working at the school library. And guess what? I thought since it was clear, I did not have to, it didn't smell. Well, they all kind of smelled me on Monday morning all the time. Anyway, so by this time, I knew that it was a problem, and I went to work after the holiday, and I severed my hand in a small little hole to clean off the knitting needles, and my three, one, two, three, four of my fingers were cut off at the tip. That was not fun. And I was raced to the hospital, and he gave me some pills. And I've never been a pill taker, so I was like, I got home. He didn't make a reschedule for anything, and I thought, wow, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into now? And I thought God punished me. It was my drinking hand. And I thought, wow. But you know what? I asked for God for help. And I'll never forget it. I still have his card. Abraham Traub was the doctor I called, and he said, come on over. And he looked at my hand and he said, what's the matter with that doctor? He never cleaned it. You would have got gangrene in a week or two. So I had to have a whole year off. I was unemployed. And by the way, they don't do disability. And it took me a year to, and I had to go to a lawyer. I mean, and this lawyer was pathetic too. But anyway, make a long story short, I went back to AA. Now, I went back to AA with both feet. And they told me I had to do the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'd been staring at these stupid things, and I didn't know what surrender was. I was very, very much in denial. And I always call step one, they call it surrender. I call it lifting the veil of denial. Now, I might have known I was an alcoholic, but I didn't know if I wanted to not drink forever. But they never told me that. When I went to meetings, they told me all I had to do it was one day at a time. And if I didn't like that meeting, I could go to another meeting. Find the one that works for you. And alcoholism hides behind trauma, neglect, narcissism, basically, which is pride. And I'm the kind of drinker that if I'm pissed off at you, I'll show you by killing me by drinking. What's that all about? I don't know, but that worked for a long time, which when it came down to living or dying, I had to stop that. And then, and I can't live on life's terms. Sometimes life just gives you a bad or bad deal, and you got to live with it and walk through it. And I can't change it and drink and forget about it. You made me mad. Okay. So the next step I took was going and doing those 12 steps, and I graduated. I took my sponsor, told her some of the things. Then I went to a priest, told him some of the things, and I was off and running. And it took me about 5 years for me to get really serious. There was only two things I've ever wanted to be. One was a teacher, and the other one was a mom. And guess what? I got to be a mom. Okay. First, I got the boyfriend. Then I got the mom about 5 years later. And then that was putting life in a car and wheels on the ground now. This is real life when you have a family. I didn't know how to have a family.
5 minutes.
I didn't have all of that background of having a family. So it was hard on me. And when we moved to Greenland, Mississippi, my husband was in agriculture. I found myself a sponsor. And she told me that since I was sober and I had the privilege of being sober, that I had to give back. And one way of doing that is going to meetings, at least 3 meetings a week. I redid the 12 steps with her, and I've done the 12 steps many times after that. But, I learned so much from her, and it was the first woman that I actually listened to. And so when I came back, and I started praying, and I really believe that God came into my life in Greenville, Mississippi. And the first prayer I would say is, God, get me the hell out of here, because I don't know what I'm doing here. But that, with that sponsor directing me, we moved to another place and we raised a family there. AA was still just down the road for me, just like it was in Greenville. And I got to go to meetings and I got to have sponsorees and I got to have other sponsors because, in fact, I just had another sponsor pass away on me. And I've had an absolutely terrific life. I got to do what I wanted to do. I am the mother of 3 children, the grandmother of 2 beautiful little granddaughters. At one time I had 2 homes. Thank God that's over with. Now I live in beautiful Colorado, which I always wanted to live in. God made me an art teacher. I loved it. I've traveled. I have beautiful children. Alcoholism is still in my family. I go to another program, Al-Anon, because relationships are not my thing. I told you I don't do relationships well, but I learn. And I learn to love and do those kind of things, which I would have never have. But the love of my life is God of my understanding. I never for a day miss my meditations. I can't. They are the breath of my life. And the book says that. I can't do without saying please in the morning and thank you at night. That is my fundamental. I have other religious things that I do, but my main thing is I have a home group. I am always got my finger or my foot in AA. I'll either chair, I will take a position or something because it gets me in the circle. And just got finished with a convention here in Colorado Springs. Just absolutely wonderful. I'm the chair of getting speakers at my home group. And it's beautiful to see people recover, but I can't say enough that I cannot do this without a higher power doing for me what I can't do for myself. I am very privileged to be alive because I don't know how I got here, to be honest with you. I give all the credit to the God of my understanding and my guardian angel. I still can't believe it, but anyway, my guardian angel is, I gotta give it 100%. So, anyway, I love you all and thank you so much for letting me share the day before my birthday. Amen.